Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Fanuff just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
He does have the facts to back up his opinion. That's why we get Paul on the show, by the way. Well, we're kind of told to get Paul on. His appearance brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How are you doing?
I'm well. How's life?
Hanging in there. Thank you for asking. At least the weather's nice, though. So, you know. Yeah, and the Mets are in first place. Paul, this whole thing, this Eichel guy. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. Now, Elliot, let me set up everybody with this quick little recap. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet instigators yesterday said the Sabres want to move on from Jack Eichel, thinks the trade will be done by the draft. You have maintained for a little while now, and when you've been on with us, the Sabres want to move on from Eichel too, correct?
Yeah. I remember we were talking about that when I was, both when I filled in for you and filled in for Jeremy. We were chatting about that especially most recently when Adams was talking after, you know, the rehab period, and he had said, well, I haven't gotten together with Jack yet, we haven't spoken yet, but I want to make sure you understand that we haven't changed our position, our doctors still haven't changed their position, that they're still not comfortable with the surgery. And it's like almost like, well, yeah, why would they be? I mean, it's not like all of a sudden the surgery is going to change or become safer just because 10 weeks have gone by or anything like that. And, you know, it was very obvious then that the Sabres are moving on, and that, you know, it's pretty much Adam's decision that, you know, you knew then that he had decided that, you know, they're going to have to move on, that they're not changing their mind, and Eichel's not changing his mind. And also when we were talking to Adams after the season, when I asked Adams, you know, hey, look, you know, everybody keeps asking if Jack's asked to be traded, are you guys looking to trade Jack? And he said, well, you know, he went on and on, and he easily just could have said, no, we're not looking to trade him, and just put it to rest. And that's not how he answered the question. He, you know, that's when he went into that we want people that want to be here, and you know, went forward, and, you know, Jack and Sam don't want to be here. So it became rather obvious that, you know, the Sabres want to move on from him, and, you know, that's what I think is going to happen.
Quick aside here, Paul, we'll get right back to Eichel, but we found out this morning, did you know there's an East Seneca? Because someone tweeted in a picture of the East Seneca Volunteer Fire Company with East Seneca ambulances. Did you know there was an East Seneca?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me? I mean, you fill my head with lots of frivolous material. Why didn't you tell me there was an East Seneca at some point? All right, this is news to me.
It just never came up.
No, I guess it wouldn't, yeah.
Paul, I got a question to follow up regarding Kevin Adams and what he's doing going forward. You know, he also said in his press conference, one or two or three press conferences ago, like, we got to do everything better. We've got to do this, do that. And, you know, for Eichel and Reinhart to both want out, and maybe Ristolainen want out, to see all these players that have wanted to be traded, and it's not even just these two. You go back the last couple of years, guys want out of here. Is part of Kevin Adams' job, do you think he will do what it takes to figure out why that all happened? Like, what needs to change for him, right? For the job he has, for management all the way up. Will there be, like, sometimes it's a come-to-Jesus moment is what people will say. Will the Sabres do any sort of soul-searching of how did this all happen?
Oh, absolutely. I think they've already done that. I think that with him, knowing Kevin, that's probably one of the first things he did is, you know, how are we going to change the, quote, culture, you know, the good old buzzword there, to make it that, you know, this is going to be a desirable place. This is going to be a place where people want to be at. And this is going to be a place where, you know, we're going to be a franchise that is in the playoffs, not just makes the playoffs, but a contending type franchise. And that's one of the ways to do it. I mean, I don't think all these players would be souring on the Sabres if they were knocking on the door of being a really good team. You know, if they had improved this year and went right down to the wire, maybe didn't necessarily get in the playoffs, but were in the conversation and, you know, missed it by a couple of points and showed a lot of improvement, I think we'd all be having probably a different conversation. And in Jack's case, we'll never know. I mean, I don't think Jack is ever going to say one way or the other, but, you know, quite frankly, I think he made this decision long before he even hurt his neck. You know, when they're dead in the water and they're not even a month into the season, you know, after what he said last year, you know, he didn't ask to be traded last year, but he made it pretty clear that the losing had gotten to him and, you know, things had to change. Well, yeah, they changed, but they changed for the worse. I mean, things got worse, not better. I mean, they were the worst team in the league by far, and you know, it was crazy. They went in a month in and they were eliminated. And, you know, he wants to be somewhere where, you know, he can make the playoffs and do, you know, play in the postseason. And so to me, I would think he right then and there, he'd say, you know what, this just isn't working. This isn't going anywhere. And, you know, and wanted to move on.
You know, Paul, as we talk about part of this, the disconnect that the organization feels it has with its fans. I'm hearing you say what Eichel made clear to the Sabres, and he'll be moved, and I'm not taking his side here at all. What I am saying is that's what the owners should say to the fans. Right? Like, that's what fans want. If the organization's wondering why the disconnect with fans, ownership and management should be out there saying, out of it a month into the season is unacceptable. And when there are things happening on the ice that are clearly unacceptable, fans want to know that the organization feels that way. And, you know, for most of Eichel's tenure here, the organization has been very slow and late to do that. And my opinion, that's a big part of the disconnect. Here we have a player. We have multiple players that want out. The players are saying what I think fans want to hear from the team.
Adams was slow. I mean, Adams got there, but it was too late. You know, when he made it to the, well, there's a disconnect between the team and the fans, and made a coaching change. And you see what the coaching change did? I mean, Don Granato came in. He didn't have Eichel. Kruger did. He didn't have Ullmark for most of it. Kruger did. He didn't have McCabe. Kruger did. You know, so their best D, their best forward, and their best goaltender, Kruger, had those guys and wound up where he wound up in the standings. Granato didn't have those guys and did much better. You know, just showing what you can do with a better coach. But again, it was way, way too little too late, realizing that, you know, things are bad. And Jeremy, I've been at this longer than you have in this town. And for me, and I've said this before, I think we talked about this when I was in with you a couple of weeks ago, that I have never seen a more hated Buffalo team than this hockey team is in this town, whether it's the Bills, the Sabres. And don't forget, the Bills didn't make the playoffs for 17 years. And I still did not see a team as hated as much as this team is by the fans. The fans despise this team. And they've got work to do.
Yeah.
And Adams, I think, realizes it now, and he said it a couple times that, you know, there's that's where he feels the disconnect is. It's between the team and its fans, and it's his job to fix that. And he needs to fix that. And he's right, he needs to fix that. Yep. And he needs to, you know, get a team together that this community is proud of, that this community wants to go see. And right now, there's not too many people that are proud of the Buffalo Sabres that live in Buffalo.
They don't. It's right. It's funny though, Paul. One of the things that's strangely come out of this though is there is one popular person in the organization, not quite universally, but pretty close, and that's Don Granato. You know, he might keep the job, and I don't think he would get the job because of that. But it certainly doesn't hurt. It's not often I think you can hire your interim coach that isn't a proven winner. And you know, maybe Kruger's hire was popular. Maybe Housley's was too, looking back. Whatever. You know, change is always welcomed. But Granato had some results, and he spoke to the fans, and he said a lot of things that they like. And I guess the question I would have for you is, you know, as Kevin Adams and Jason Carmano start to build this roster, they're going to hire their coach. I think they would do that first. They would name whoever the coach is. And I think Granato's the favorite, looking like it might go that way. So do they start building in the image of a team that he thinks about? Or do Kevin Adams and Jason Carmanos and the Pegulas, do they have this kind of vision? Is this going to be a heavy team, a fast team, a defensive team? Do they want to be the Islanders? Do they want to be Vegas? You know, I just wonder what they envision, because it really is about starting from scratch outside of, you know, Cousins, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, and some other nice pieces. But you know, how do they do it? Who's in charge of what the final picture looks like? Because they love talking about their vision. And, of course, so far to this point, they haven't really completed anyone.
Exactly. And that's – you're right. They have to get a coach in, and then that's when they start filling in the players around, which I think is a pretty decent core. That's why I don't think this is a complete rebuild, because I think they have a very nice young core to build around. It's not finished. I mean, they've got to – build around. They got to do a lot better than they did building around Reinhardt and Eichel. You know, in my opinion, people talk about the tank. The tank worked. What the tank was designed to do was to get either McDavid or Eichel, and also and Reinhardt was part of it too. But it wasn't to get Reinhardt. It was to get a very high pick in that draft also. You know, knowing you know that's the one before Eichel, and they accomplished it. And wound up drafting Reinhardt, who is a 20-goal scorer every year except one for the Sabres. So it worked for what they were trying to do. They were trying to get some high-end players to be able to build the team around. What failed was they had general managers that had no idea what to do once they got the pieces they needed in Eichel and in Reinhardt. And they didn't know what to do with it and how to build around it. Well, that's what the task is now for Adams. It's like you've got this core of young players that Don Granato has done a nice job of getting the most out of, and now he has to be able to understand who is the coach, how does he want to play, and you know that's what Adams and Carmanos want to do. I mean, it seems like they like what Granato's selling as far how he wants to play, which is, you know, take the strengths of your good players, put them all together, then develop a system that play to the strengths. All right, Dahlin, we want you to do this because you're good at it. Joakim Harju, we want you to do this because you're good at this. Mittelstadt, here, we're going to put you in some different situations than you're used to because we think you can handle it by doing this because you do this well, you do this well. And he tries to develop now a system that augments the good things that each player can bring to the table that way. So, you know, whether it's Granato or for me, it's either Granato or Brind'Amour. If Brind'Amour becomes available, and now that their season is over, we'll see where that goes. But, That's what they have to do is, all right, this guy is going to be the coach. This is what he's going to bring to the table. This is what he expects out of his players. This is what we feel we need to do to help augment the players that they have to make this team better, you know, improving the top six, improving the bottom six, improving the goaltending. But how do you want to do that? How do you want to go about that? And that's, you know, where the coach comes into play.
To the bigger picture, Paul, we limited it to Eichel. Now, you also mentioned Reinhardt, and I'll throw in Ristolainen. What are the odds in this offseason? All three of them are traded. Are you expecting that?
Probably not. Unless I'm totally off base here, and I don't think I am, Reinhardt wants nothing to do with signing a long-term deal in Buffalo. I mean, if that would be the desired thing that you'd want. But if he's not willing to do that, and all he's going to do is accept a qualifying offer and then take off on you after 1 year, his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. He's coming off his very best season by far. And, you know, you have to take advantage of that value. And sometimes, even good with good players, sometimes it's a smart thing to trade good players when they're at the top of their game. You know, depending what you can get for that good player, you have a good opportunity to improve your team with multiple players by moving that player when he's at his best. Well, if that player doesn't want to be here and that player is just going to hang out for one more year and then next thing you know, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent and go, well, I think his value's more now than it would be if you wait into next season and try to trade him at the trade deadline. To be quite honest with you, I think you probably can do better in the trade if you do it in the summertime. So, you know, that's where I would be at with him. You know, if he's absolutely adamant that no, I'm not signing anything more than a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
Well, your job has just been made for you.
I agree.
Do it.
I think he's a goner. What about Ristolainen? Same. He's in that. Kind of the well, he's not an RFA. He's got 1 year left, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. We've talked about leaving him exposed for the expansion draft. So, what happens with Ristolainen?
Ristolainen is open to being a Sabre. Ristolainen is open to being on a playoff team. I think he was very candid in his comments. It's like, I need to make the playoffs next year, whether it's here or someplace else. I need to make the playoffs. Unlike Reinhardt, he's got nothing against Buffalo, or he actually likes the city and likes being here, and he just wants to. He's tired of the losing. I don't blame him. I don't blame any of them. I don't begrudge any of them that they want to win, and the losing has just been disgustingly bad here, and it just keeps happening and happening, and I don't blame any of them for that. So, you know, he's in the same type of a situation where. You know what? If you want me to finish my contract, I'll finish my contract, which is one more year. If you want to trade me, go ahead and trade me. Whatever you'd like to do is fine. I'm good with it. But in Ristolainen's case, if you came out and had a good season and somehow or other made the playoffs, you know, I think he would change his tune, and I think he would be fine in staying here.
See, I would leave him exposed for the expansion draft, protect Darlene, Jokiharju, and Borgen. And if I'm going to leave him exposed, and I don't know that Seattle would take him anyway, but I'm not giving him another contract either here, so I would move him with 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, and that's the – I would move him. Other than leaving him exposed, he wouldn't be here to be exposed.
Yeah,
I would just
trade him before
unless you can't move him, you know, unless you really can't trade for him. And a lot of people think – you know, he's going to get you some bonanza. I'm not one of them. I mean, when Brian Burke was with Calgary, he's readily admitted, well, we had a trade. It was done. He was going to the Flames. And the analytics department knocked on Brian Burke's door and say, excuse me, what are you doing? You know, and
pulling off a great deal.
And he called the Sabres after talking to the analytics department and said, the deal's off. That came from Brian Burke. And that was a number of years ago. It's been a few years since he's been with the Flames. You know, so he had his best year, especially when McCabe was playing, you know, where the two of them really, really played well together. If he wants to play like that, I have no problem with him being a Sabre and continuing as a Sabre. You know, if the two of them want to play like they did in the beginning of the season. I mean, they were two that overcame Kruger, you know, and played really well together before McCabe got injured. And then, you know, things, we all know what happened after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, can he continue to do that? You know, that would remain to be seen. Would I want to take a chance on that? I'd be looking to move him, definitely.
Sherrod, would you care, before we let you go there, Mr. Hamilton, would you share to care a quick thought or two on the final two matchups in the Stanley Cup playoffs since they're set?
This might, maybe I'm being silly. I don't think Montreal has any chance to even win.
You're not being silly. Well, what was the word, Jeremy, you used? Steamroll?
I said multiple times, I think Vegas is going to steamroll Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. As well as Carey Price is playing, this is Vegas. And they're just Montreal. They're just so good. Mm. You know, they can come at you from every which way. And, you know, you want to learn how to build a bottom six? Go look at Vegas. You want to learn how to build a top six? Go look at Vegas. You know, they know what they're doing there. And they know how to build a team. Now, I love watching their team play. I can watch their team play all day long. I despise their uniforms. I really don't like them at all.
All right.
But I like watching their team play. There's nothing about those uniforms I like at all. With between the gloves and the gray and the gold.
What about the gold helmets? Shiny gold helmets. All right, I like those.
Shiny gold helmets belong at Notre Dame. I like it.
I like those Notre Dame helmets. All right. But, and the other matchup, Islanders-Tampa?
Yeah, that's a good one. I still think Tampa, I told you all along that Tampa just basically hung out in the regular season and
violated the cap rule. Well, they didn't technically
violate
the cap.
Well, they didn't violate anything. They showed the NHL that they have work to do in sewing up the cap rules a little bit.
Right.
And you know, they were within their rights to do what they did, which was pretty silly, but whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I think Tampa is just too good and, you know, the Islanders last year played in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's where it ended, and I think that's where it'll end in this one too. But, you know, I think that at least will be a series. You know, I don't think Tampa's sweeping that. I'd be very surprised if they did. But, yeah, I can't see Montreal winning a game.
All right. Well, always nice to chat with you, Mr. Hamilton. Hope you're doing well, sir.
Yes. Yes, good to talk to you guys.
All right, Paul. Have a nice
weekend. Golf went well, Mr. White?
Oh, it was great, Paul.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, if you ever
see
me.
I saw some of the photos. It looked good.
Yeah, if you ever see me out, and this is not just for you, Paul, anybody, ask me about the golf. I'll just talk about the golf all the time. And when I'm not talking about the golf, I'm thinking, I should be talking about the golf.
I thought to myself, you know what? I should have gone with you and just caddied or something.
Ooh, it would have been nice.
Speaking of caddying for Jeremy. Jeremy, do you need any caddies, or are you all set?
I think I'm covered for the 100 holes,
right.
Yeah.
You could caddy for – Paul and I could co-caddy.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm into it.
There you
just
go.
Just watch you two bicker about the Mets for 3 hours and 2 hours.
Paul, you can co-caddy for Jeremy with me during his 100 holes of golf. We get a golf cart. And honestly, you know what? I thought like I'd have to actually do stuff. Jeremy's like, nah, pretty much just sit in the cart, drive it with my clubs. He's picking the club. He's putting the club. I don't have to do anything but just literally drive the cart. So, you know, Jeremy, I'd go with the I'd go with an iron here. No, I just sit
Which
there.
Which iron?
Are they numbered? 5, 4, 7.
Jeremy would be like 80
Two.
Yards away. He's sitting there looking for his pitching wedge or
pitching
something.
Pitching wedge. That's it. I should have said pitching wedge. I knew.
Howard would be handing him his putter.
Yeah. I'm not really good at picking out the clubs things. Every year in the golf, the GR golf tournament, I'd always turn to someone in the foursome and go, all right, what should I play here? Like, it really matters. Like, I don't hit the ball anyway. Like, it really matters what club I take out. Anyway, Jeremy just does all that stuff. You just sit there. So it's really cool.
The beautiful thing about the golf tournament is you and I both have matching trophies.
We do?
Yeah, the guy with the cane.
Oh, yeah. The worst. Yes, we do. Yeah, it's still in my basement. I have
that.
Yeah,
we have matching trophies. That actually is a pretty cool trophy.
It is a cool. That's why I got.
I thought it was very well done.
Me too. I liked it, so that's why I didn't get rid of it. All right, P-Ham, thank you as always, sir. Have a nice weekend.
Take care, guys.
Okay, Paul. Paul Segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I want to carry a little the little pad, the whatever, the book, that the so I can open it up and make it look like I'm looking at distance and yardage. No, Jeremy, I think it's 125 to that water sprinkler. I want to do that stuff with you. So,
you know, water sprinklers are often labeled with yardages themselves.
I don't care. I'm trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about. You're not working with me, Jeremy. I need 125 to the water hazard. How's that? Is that sand wedge? Which ones are the irons again? All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.